Thank you for joining us today. Let us be the first to say,
welcome home.
To keep you up to date on what's happening at John Wesley, here are a few announcements.
Are you a first-time guest? Be sure to stop by our Welcome Center for more information on how you can get more involved through our online services and classes.
We would like to take this time to thank you for your faithfulness in joining us every Sunday and for your support to JW through giving. We invite you to give online, mail, through text, or in the offering boxes on your way out. Let's continue to connect people to Jesus.
We encourage you to continue to visit our website at www.jwumc.org or visit our social media pages for up-to-date information on Sunday services, safety guidelines, and upcoming events.
So please, join us in welcoming Pastor Marty Dunbar as we continue the sermon series, Just As He Promised, Episode 3.
So there was a rich man, and he was going to have a party. And what he did before the party is he went out and he gathered all these alligators and he put them into his pool, and then he let his guests gather for the party. And as they gathered for the party, he waited, and then he made this big announcement as they were all there, and he said, I promise you something. I promise you either $1 million or the hand of my daughter in marriage for the first man who jumps in the pool and swims across safely and emerges from the other side. Now, the challenge was on. Immediately, there was a splash in the pool, and there was a young man in the pool, and he swam across the pool, and he jumped out, and he was unharmed, and the crowd there was just amazed. And so this rich man walked up to the young man and said, I promise something. I'm going to fulfill my promise. Do you want $1 million? Do you want the hand of my daughter in marriage? And the young man said, no, sir, I don't want either one of those. I want the name of the person who pushed me in the pool, right? And you've probably heard that before. But we're talking about God's promises. We're talking about how God promises something, he delivers on it, whether it's immediately or maybe over centuries or generations, possibly even a millennium. Now, today's scripture today that we're going to look at contains one of the most widely known scripture verses. It's probably the favorite or the most well-known scripture verse in all of the Bible, John 3:16, right? And it basically says, whoever believes in Jesus, the Son of Man, will not perish but have eternal life. Well, personally, I believe that. I believe that as a follower of Jesus. I believe that to be true. I'm not ashamed to say that. For me, my witness, my testimony, my whole life calling has to do with sharing that message in the world, in a dark and lost world. And I believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the promise, the message that God has presented to all of us, and he fulfilled his ultimate promise through the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, one thing that we can count on is God's promises to save you. Trust in that promise, right? Trust in this promise with all your heart. And I might be preaching to the choir, right? I might be preaching to those who are listening online. You're like, yeah, I know all that stuff. But God promises to save you, and trust in this promise with all your heart. Maybe you need to be reminded of that. Maybe you need to understand what we're actually trying to think about and accomplish and remember as we move towards Easter that Sunday morning. So to believe something is to accept the invitation. To accept this invitation that God himself became sin and died on a cross for us, for all humanity, for all creation. And believing actually starts a journey, a process in our life. It starts this journey of rebirth. It starts this journey of understanding that Jesus is called to be our Lord and our Savior, even if we don't understand all of that when we first believe. Even when we don't understand all the theological stuff that goes with that, or where we're going to be called, or where we're going to have to go, or where God's going to lead us, right? But ultimately, that brings new birth, some sort of spiritual regeneration in our life, and we use baptism as a symbol for that. Whether you're baptized as a baby or baptized as a professing adult, we understand that there's this regeneration. God is doing something on the inside. As we talked about last week, it's like yeast in a bread. You have to trust that God is doing the work even though you don't see it. He is washing you clean. You're being reborn. So today is really a reminder for us, if we already have that understanding, that belief, but it's also an invitation to people that maybe don't believe that, and they need a promise they can hang their entire life on, and that's a promise of God. And in believing that promise of God, there's benefits for that. There's benefits to being reborn. There's fruits of being reborn. And so there's some things that we get out of that as well. That's how God sort of made that promise. Now, the truth is this. We never receive the fullness of God's promises if we walk in unbelief. Yeah, we will receive some promises of God. God loves those who even don't believe at the moment. But we will not receive the fullness of God's promise if we walk in unbelief. So it's important for us to believe, and unbelief is just this lack of response to the very free invitation. And what it does is, a lot of times, we see this in people around us a lot. We see it in the world, I do, where people just ignore that invitation so long in their life that basically their hearts become hardened. Their hearts become callous to the very voice, the very light, the very love of God. And then it's just like, forget the promises or invitations of God. You know, they got more important things going on in the world. That leads us to our scripture story, our passage today. And we're going to be looking at John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3, verses 13 through 21. Now, we are picking up in the middle of a conversation that's already happening between Jesus and Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a part of the Sanhedrin. He is a top rabbi or religious leader in that time in the Jewish people. And so we pick up on this sort of secretive conversation that is going on between Nicodemus and Jesus. It says this, "No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people love the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. And all who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants." This portion of Scripture has so much truth in it. Again, we learn of this beautiful promise, right? That God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And we're leading up to that, of course, in Easter morning. And we understand that Good Friday and Christ has to be sacrificed. And then he's resurrected and he defeats death. He defeats sin. This is a wonderful conversation, again, with a lot of promises. And there's a way for us to experience this very conversation maybe differently than just hearing it. And we've watched clips before from The Chosen, a miniseries about Jesus and his disciples, and I want to show you here a clip about this conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, and the way that they do it is all scripturally based, and you'll hear scripture throughout, You'll also hear that scripture that Pastor Cheryl read to us earlier about, you know, and in some detail, he talks about that as well. And so let's just watch this video clip. Now, it's 11 minutes long, so if you got your coffee and popcorn, just sit back and enjoy it, okay? But you're going to experience something. Scripture will come alive. And so let's watch this clip, and then we'll come back and wrap up.
Welcome, Nicodemus. Don't be alarmed. He's waiting for you. I asked the owner of this house for more lanterns, but he said they would draw attention.
Yes, I imagine they would.
The human eye is drawn to light. We can't help it. It just happens.
There are many things we are drawn to without our thinking or our ability to explain why. Thank you for agreeing to meet.
Thank you for trying to help Mary when you did.
No help.
You were meant to be there.
Me? So I could fail miserably at an exorcism in the Red Quarter?
If you had not been there that day, would you be on this roof tonight?
I don't know where to start. I have so many questions.
Shall we sit first?
Oh, yes. Of course. Slums. Many wandering preachers have succeeded in gathering crowds with their rhetoric and fiery tone.
I've heard a few of them over the years myself.
So you know the type. Mm. But I have never heard anyone tell a paralytic to get up and walk, much less it actually happened.
So what is your conclusion?
I believe you are not acting alone. No one can do these signs you do without having God in him. Only someone who has come from God.
And how is that belief going over in the synagogue? Which is why we are here at this hour. What else?
What have you come here to show us?
A kingdom.
That is what our rulers are worried about.
No, not that kind.
Then what?
A sort of kingdom that a person cannot see unless he is born again.
Born again?
Yes.
You mean like a new creature? A conversion from Gentile to Jewish?
No, no, that's not what I'm talking about.
Then what is born again? I hope you don't mean return to the womb, because that would be a problem for me. My mother, may she rest in peace, is dead.
Truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That part of you, that is what must be reborn to new life.
How can these things be?
Ah, a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things.
I'm trying, Rabbi.
I know. I know. Do you hear this?
What?
Listen. What do you hear?
The wind?
How do you know it's the wind?
Because I can feel it. I hear its sound.
Do you know where it comes from?
No.
Do you know where it's going?
No.
That's what it is to be born again of the Spirit. The spirit may work in a way that is a mystery to you. And while you cannot see the spirit, you can recognize his effect.
Mind is consumed with thoughts of what a stir these words would cause among the teachers of the law.
Yes, and I do not expect otherwise. I speak of what I know and have seen, and it has not been received by the religious leaders.
It is hard to receive.
So if I have told you of earthly things, and you do not believe, how can I tell you heavenly things?
I believe your words. I just fear you may not have a chance to speak many more of them before you are silenced.
I have come to do more than speak words, Nicodemus.
More miracles?
Yes. But even more than that. Do you remember when the children of Israel complained against God and against Moses in the wilderness of Paran?
Yes. They wanted to return to Egypt and they cursed the manna that God sent them.
And then?
They were bitten by serpents. And they were dying. But God made a way for them to be healed.
Moses lifted the bronze serpent in the desert, and people only needed to look at it. So will the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life.
Our people are not dying from snake bites. They're dying from taxation and oppression.
I'm sorry to disappoint you. But I did not come to deliver the people from Rome.
Then from what?
From sin. From spiritual death. God loved the world in this way. That he gave his only son. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
So this has nothing to do with Rome. It's all about sin.
God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, Nicodemus. He sent him to save it through him. It's as simple as Moses' serpent on the pole. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. Have you ever heard anything like this before?
Shh. When I met Lilith, Mary, that day, I told my wife and my students she was beyond human aid. Only God could have healed her. And then I saw her healed. And here you are. The healer.
Position in the Sanhedrin. You have family. You are getting advanced in years. I understand. But the invitation is still open.
The invitation to what exactly? To lead a nomadic life? To give up who I am?
It's true. There is a lot you would give up. But what you would gain is far greater and more lasting.
Is this another one of your born-again mysteries?
Maybe. I know mysteries aren't easy for a scholar. Think about it. Take your time. On the morning of the fifth day, leave, and we'll meet by the well in the southern quarter at dawn.
Is the kingdom of God really coming?
What does your heart tell you?
is swollen with fear and wonder. He can tell me nothing except that I am standing on holy ground. Holy roof.
I do hope you come with us, Nicodemus.
Kiss the sun, lest he be angry and you perish in the way.
Blessed are all who take refuge in him.
That's a powerful piece of video that brings that scripture to life for us, being reborn as a spiritual thing. You know, flesh gives birth to flesh, spirit gives birth to spirit. Jesus points out to Nicodemus that the wind is blowing. Can you sense the wind, right? See, we can sense it. We can feel it. We can hear the wind. And what does all that mean? Well, you don't know where it's coming from, and you don't even know where the wind's final destination will be. And Jesus teaches, basically in the midst of that, people who are reborn by the Spirit, the work of the Spirit, we still have to live in the physical world. But there's something going on. God is doing something because of faith and trust in that promise that the work of Christ, that there's this intersection of the physical and the spiritual, and something is happening. Now, in verse 14 and 15, it said, they pointed again to that scripture in Numbers. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. See, Jesus makes that parallel between him and this bronze pole with a serpent on it. And we begin to think right there, hey, you know, why is Jesus comparing himself to something evil? Right? Is he trying to cause pain for the people of Israel or God's people? And he's not. He's trying to align himself in a way of thinking about the act of dying on a cross. That Jesus is willing, God is willing to become sin for us. Not just die for our sins, but actually become sin for us and hang on a cross. And it's an invitation to then look at the crucified one, Jesus Christ, and just believing that is a provision for salvation. It's pretty amazing to think about that, right? God's promise that he would do something and the promise kept. Salvation of all things. In verse 16 and 17, these are the verses that gospel in a nutshell. This is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world but to save the world through him. Again, gospel in a nutshell, that God so loved the world, and we just came out of this study of Revelation. And I said this, God so loved the world that he didn't give it World War III, right? That's a lot of times what we think as Christians, and for some reason the narrative has been that way, is God's going to wreak havoc on the world. That's not what God's trying to accomplish. We might as humans bring on World War III, but God's not going to do it. God so loves the world that he gave his one and only Son. That's a whole different narrative, right? Jesus didn't save the world just in the nick of time so he could just burn it down, okay? That's the wrong picture of Jesus' work. And now that might blow your mind to think about, but that's the biblical picture. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, the Apostle Paul affirms this even more. He says, all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ, and God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. See, God shows real love in the very actions of Jesus, the work of Jesus. It's not fondness for people. It's not piety. It's more than that. It's sacrificial, real love, right? The perfect example, extraordinary lengths he went to show this. It's an invitation that Jesus gives to Nicodemus and all humanity is a Christ-centered invitation, though. Believe God exists. Believe God is love, right? And then believe in the Son of God, Jesus. Because if you believe in the Son of God, Jesus, you actually means you're believing in the Father. That's what we hear in Jesus' teachings. And we hear and keep his word, and we remain connected to Jesus. We thus connect others to Jesus. This is all this sort of cycle of discipleship and being a follower of Jesus. Now, I want to close just briefly. I'm going to close with the benefits of being reborn and the fruits of being reborn. Because there's benefits and there's fruits. Benefits. The first is this, the righteousness of God. We receive the righteousness of God. It's not by our own works, it's by faith, right? And Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Done for us, righteousness of Christ, because of simple faith and belief. Thus, we also, Paul says, receive a peace of God, right? We get the peace of God. This spiritual quarrel between you and God in faith in Christ, you have been made clean. You have the righteousness of God. This spiritual quarrel is gone. Even though we deal with it in the world, between you and God, it's gone. You are not condemned. You will not be judged. Christ has already taken it. He became sin for you. And then we have access to God. Full access, full relationship. And Apostle Paul actually in Romans 5 goes on. He says, because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege or relationship, you could say, where we now stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. I would say that last line there, sharing God's glory, is also a benefit, the hope of God, right? We have a future hope of glory of all eternity with God, spending time with him for eternity, but we also have this present day hope and joy. We can find joy and faith in what God is doing as he reconfigures our insides, our spirit, right? We're reborn, regenerated. It's continuing to happen. Now, there's fruits of being reborn as well. And the fruits, there's a lot of fruits, and I can only deal with a few, and I'm going to deal with just the first is love, right? That's a fruit. You know, you're like, hey, are they a believer? Well, they don't love very well. You know, they're struggling with that. You know, I mean, they're learning that, right? Or possibly, hey, could we see the fruits, come out in love? I mean, 1 John 4:7 says, anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. And if you don't love, then you don't know God. So that's a fruit of being reborn. The second thing is grace. So important. This regeneration in our own life happens because of the grace of God, right? And so if it's not our actions and what we're doing, right, that rebirths us or regenerates us, but it's like God's work, well, we should be able to then see others differently as well, right? We should project God's grace onto others as well and see them like God sees them. That's another fruit. And then change is the third fruit. Fundamental change of direction in your life, your intellect, your will, your ways, your affections are affected by your faith and a new birth in Christ. And this spiritually, you're basically becoming alive to God and his will and his ways. See, God promises to save you, doesn't he? Trust in this promise with all your heart. And I don't know, maybe you haven't trusted him. I mean, maybe everybody in here has, everybody watching. Maybe somebody's going to come across this message this week just by happenstance, and they haven't trusted. They've been trying to save themselves. They've been doing everything that they can do, and life's just not working. The invitation of God still exists. The gospel of Jesus Christ still remains and is true, and it's the promise that all you have to do is simply believe. And do you believe? That's the thing. Do you believe? Do you believe that God's promises are true? Have you been trying to fulfill your own promises and the promises of the world, and you're like, I just can't do it anymore? Maybe I actually need to trust and believe this God and this beautiful message of love. And start believing leads to rebirth. Because what? God promises to save you. Trust in this promise with all your heart. Go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Again, for all you have done, you continue to do in our life. Thank you for the very invitation to know you, to believe in you, to have a relationship with you. I pray for the person in here that needs to renew that. I pray for the person in here that needs to understand that it's more, right, than just following some rules, Lord. It's this relationship with you. It's this constant being reborn in you. And Lord, that you do the work. Allow the work to happen. Let us allow the work to happen. And then I pray for those who just are so scared, or maybe they have fear or whatever it is in their life, pride that's keeping them from believing in this promise that you have given. I pray they will open their hearts to you. I pray that they will try to let you in and rebirth their heart, Lord, and let them see the benefits, let them see the fruits, let them see that a relationship with you is truly the very thing that brings hope and glory and love and grace and peace and hope into our life. In Jesus' name I pray all these things. Amen and amen.